Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling Stones are acting, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Roll it backwards, I'ma leave it at that.
Don't be sagging. So it's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller. That is Holly O'Connor.
Hello.
That is associate producer Scotty the Body from USF.
Hello.
So we're here. We're queer. And we just got off of St. Pete Pride.
Hey!
Holly, we got a lot to go over in a quick amount of time because I got to go get my car serviced.
I was like, I thought you had to get your car done today. What are we doing?
I will. But I know we're not going to want to do it tomorrow, the podcast.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
And so
Friday? Yeah. So that's why I was like, let's just go ahead and just do it. And I'll just be a little late getting my car serviced. So, Holly, while we were doing Pride stuff here this past weekend, you were in Pittsburgh with your family for a reunion?
Yes, I was. It was the Massolino family reunion, which the last one was like... Thank you for being what? A friend. Why this one?
I don't know. I just always think of family reunions as like the like pastel colors, like from the 80s, like the Golden Girls set. Because it's like all the old aunties who want to
really
see.
Is.
Like, this is who this is for.
Yes, it is.
This isn't for the kids.
No, please believe this was solidly for my mother.
Like, yes,
we went up for her. Nothing would have happened if I had not been there. I don't remember any of these people.
Nope.
Like, my Auntie Pearl brought some pictures from the previous family reunion, which happened when I was, like, 6.
Oh,
and
goodness.
I was standing in a picture with my grandmother and one of these other organizers of the event now. And so I was able to see, like, okay, I was standing next to that woman 30 years ago when I went to the first one. But it was like, I don't know them. I have no idea. Mm-mm. And so, you know, it's all these people in their maybe like 50s and 60s, 70s even, that organized it. And they're like, we're hoping that the younger generation will take over, nudge, nudge. And I'm like, good luck with that because I don't know any of these bitches. I do not know them.
Yeah, it makes it hard if you don't know that side of the family. Like, there's a whole side of my family. I just have literally no idea. Like,
I don't live there anymore. I never lived in Pittsburgh. Like, a lot of the people, they're in... I guess when that side of the family came over from Italy through Ellis Island in New York, some of them settled in New York. Some of them settled in the Pittsburgh area. And then my branch settled in Cleveland.
Huh.
So that's why it was in Pittsburgh, because I guess a large portion of them are in Pennsylvania. So when we went up there, and then when we took, here was another interesting tidbit. So the family is the Massolino family. That's how I've always been told to say it.
Mm.
But when another branch, like another group, was taking a photo, they were like, the Massolinos. And I was like, wait, is it Massolino or is it Massolino?
Oh.
And the more I look at it, I think it might be Massolino. I think we're doing it wrong.
Really? Wait, so how? I'm so curious about family trees like this.
Yeah.
And I remember this is a total offshoot, but it's the podcast, so I can go with the different thought
you do
that
whatever
pops
the hell
up.
You want to.
That's why I loved growing up. Remember R.L. Stine with Goosebumps?
Yes. Oh my
he
God.
Had like the series for teens called Fear Street.
Okay.
And it basically bounced back and forth between like the mid-90s. It's like this town with like all this horror stuff that happens and like stuff that happened like back in the day and like how you got your family name.
Oh.
And for some reason, it's so fascinating how like people would like grow up, you know, back in the 1800s, be poor, they would do something, get some money, and to sort of erase their past, they would change their name, but not tell anybody. Then they would meet someone who also was rich, get married, and continue on with this new name.
Whoa.
And how, like, you don't know, and they would just pick, like, I like this apple tree, so our name's going to be, our last name's going to be Apple Tree.
Yeah.
And, like, now in 2019, you're Brenda Apple Tree, and you have no clue that your great-great-granddad did it because he saw an apple tree.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so fascinating
to me.
People's
names come from that, by the way. Like, if your last name is Shoemaker or whatever, chances are, like, generations ago, your family was shoemakers. They made shoes. That's a real thing. Like, people oftentimes, especially from the European countries, and you were from, like, the lower class, people just named you what you did.
I remember a Michael Shoemaker when I was in elementary school.
I knew a Sean Shoemaker. He was hot, too.
Was he?
Yeah.
Michael, he was a great guy. He was one of my good friends in elementary school.
He had a good personality.
He did. He had orange hair. It was fine.
Oh.
So did you ask anyone, like, how the difference of the names started?
I'm
so curious about
that.
I know. I should have asked. I was just...
Like, but see, this is why I love history. Like, I feel like in one of the jobs that I would do if I didn't do radio is to be a history teacher because it's so fascinating to me.
I think it's fascinating. I think that ancestry and, like, the lineages and stuff are super fascinating. I don't have time to go and dig into it, but I'd like to if I had time for a hobby like that.
Right, because I'm so curious with your family. So they came through Ellis Island. And so did they all come over? Was there, like, 30 of them that came over on a ship, the Mashalinos? And then, like, to me, when you explain it, it's like they were on, like, a horse and buggy, and then they just dropped some people off in Pittsburgh. They dropped some people off here, and they just, they were like, oh, well, as far as we can get is Cleveland, so we're done. And they just stopped there.
I don't know exactly, but I did take photos. There was, like, a big family book that had the history of it, and there was, I think what it is there were a few siblings that all came over, some with their wives or husbands or whatever, and it was like the Mashalino family. And so my branch was Giuseppe Mashalino, which I think I'm going to have to say Mashalino because that's what my family says, but I think it might be Mashalino. I say that because, anyway, that's not important. Forget I said that. But the Giuseppe Mashalino is my great grandfather. So it's my grandmother's father.
Okay.
That came. I never knew his name was Giuseppe. I thought it was George. And apparently that happened a lot too, especially with ethnic names. Like they would come over and be like, oh, my name is a Giuseppe. And they would be like, okay, well, it's going to be George now because ain't nobody can say or spell that.
Yeah.
So his name is actually Giuseppe, which I didn't know.
Wow.
And then they all had huge ass families because back then, what else are you going to do? So the different branches, like the ones that were like the Pennsylvania ones, there was a different offshoot and like they formed their whole own thing that I don't know because it's too far removed. But for mine, I took all the pictures in this book. I took pictures of the book with my phone so that I can go through and really look at it because it has the whole timeline of like when Giuseppe and Pearl, and what was her name wasn't Pearl. It was like Provenzia.
Oh, wow.
So when Giuseppe and Provenzia all came over from Italy and then they had five kids, one of which was my grandmother. And then it goes through all of like the five brothers and sisters, including my grandmother.
Oh.
And then their kids and now our kids.
That's fascinating.
I thought it was really cool. That was really awesome to me. So it was really neat to see the lineages go up like that. But I don't know those people really. So I just spend a lot of time at the reunion with my cousins that I know from Cleveland. But
that's
I don't see
fine.
Them anymore
right.
either.
This is fine.
Still important.
I know. So we did that. But yeah, it was definitely for my mom.
You know what'd be really cool is if you took those old school names and like use them with your kids now.
Oh yeah.
Just sort of like harken back to like they couldn't use those names back then, but now you can use them like Giuseppe, like if you had a son.
I know.
Like how great would that be?
I already decided, by the way, it's interesting you bring that up. If I should ever by chance find myself pregnant again, I'm totally going to name like an old school Italian name.
Yeah, that would be really cool, I think.
Yeah, because I'm like, why did everybody have these plain Jane boring ass names?
Mm-hmm.
Like they come over with Giuseppe and Provenzia or whatever, and then my grandmother's name was actually Antoinette.
Oh.
Or no, I'm sorry, it was Antonina something. And we just call her Anne.
Oh,
that's why my middle name is Anne. So I'm
gotcha,
like,
okay.
They just simplified everything, which is what everybody did. It happened with, you know what happened with the slaves that came over. They were like,
yeah.
Well, your name is Bob now.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so now my history is Bob. But
well, that's why a lot of, especially I think like in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and if you know better, like please let me know. But from what I've read or what I remember being told is that a lot of times, like once the slaves got freed, they didn't know other last names. And so they would just take on the last name of their slave master.
That's true.
And so that's why you have a lot of black people with the last name of like Smith.
Yes.
Or Jackson or Andrews, because that was like a common last name in the South.
Yeah.
And then that just continued. But then you had sort of this new birth of people in like the 70s and 80s who, that's why they say my government name. And then they took on like their Muslim name to take on like what their original, what quote unquote, what their original name should have been or whatever.
Right.
So it's really fascinating.
It is.
Now, I'm curious, Scott, you, because your family history, I feel like sometimes I get confused by, like, you're half Jewish?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was raised Jewish, so half my family is, like, full-blown Jewish. Like, my dad's side, when you get deep into it, it's, like, Orthodox, like, hardcore, very religious Judaism. And then my mom's side is just Christian and kind of the more relaxed kind of Christian. They go to church every Sunday. I don't even know really the branches of that. But then when my parents got married, my mom converted over to Judaism. So my dad's family would be happy. And now I guess you could say she's Jewish. I throw the quotes up because, I mean, you do it so you make the family happy, but...
But she didn't practice.
No, and I mean, we were raised, my brother and I were raised under the Jewish, I guess, family values and things like that, where we would go to temple and we would go to Sunday school, and I got bar mitzvahed as well as my brother did.
Mm-hmm.
So we did all that, but as soon as that was over, I mean, it's always been relaxed, but now it's like, I don't look at it as I need to practice. I know what I believe in and what I value in life, but we were always more of like, okay, we'll go once a week or once a month kind of deal, not very strict upon it.
Now, because I know that some of the TV shows and documentaries I've seen about people that grew up in the Jewish faith, like, they're pretty strict about it. I mean, like, if you don't, I listened to this whole podcast that had to do with, like, this Jewish, these two Jewish families and how somebody wanted to raise the kids in the Jewish faith, someone didn't, and there was, like, a murder involved because the parents were, like, that mad that they didn't want to raise their kids that way.
The separation between Judaism and Christianity is so deep.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That's why people either have to convert one way or the other. It's not like marrying within a Jewish person marrying another Jewish person, or like a Protestant marrying a Catholic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so different that you probably would have relationship issues if you're strongly embedded in your faith, that it you couldn't necessarily make it work unless one of the two of you converted.
Yeah, and some crazy stuff has gone down because of it. And did your mom and dad have any friction that you remember between the two families or from your dad's Jewish side with your mom?
I don't think, not between my parents. Like, my parents, and that's why I'm very thankful for how they raised me, is like it was very what we call reformed and just very relaxed, and so it wasn't really strict. However, I do know that with my mom and my dad's family, like, whether it's his, like, up in the roots of Orthodox or even my grandma, I know they butted heads for a while because my mom wasn't Jewish. And so that would be, I was young and I kind of just didn't know. But now that my eyes are open and I've had those conversations, that they butted heads for a while and it was not a good relationship for a long time, even though it, like, act like it's all happy. I don't think that my mom, I don't care. She wasn't fully accepted, I don't think, when my dad was marrying her from that side of the family. I mean, some definitely did, but there's also some that, and that's what I say, like, I don't know that side of the family, so I don't care. They didn't accept her fully on because she wasn't Jewish.
Yeah, it's a big, big deal. That's why it's so, especially if you're a Jewish woman, and like, it still goes back to a lot of old school values, and I just know this because there was this Jewish kid in our class whose mom would always come in every year and, like, teach us all the stuff about Judaism.
Oh, that's awesome.
Josh Stein's mother. Yes.
Josh
bring
Stein.
Dreidels and latkes for us.
Oh.
Yeah. So I really give a lot of props to Mrs. Stein for bringing it in. But she would say, like, you know, it's just traditionally that, especially if you're a Jewish woman being brought up, it's really not, like, frowned upon for any Jewish person to marry outside of the Jewish religion, but especially for a woman who it's like, What are you doing?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even with being so reformed, like, those conversations were constant. Like, you could feel it in the table. Even to this day, when things are happening, like, every now and then, like, I could pick up now, because I have this conversation with my mom, that these kind of are still a problem, that my mom wasn't Jewish. But she converted because of that. She went over, did everything she needed to do to be married in, you know, whatever, with a rabbi and the Jewish kind of deal.
Now, this may be a little too personal, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. Have you ever gotten the feeling that your mother regretted that decision at all?
No, I don't think she regrets it, but I do know those conversations that she did it because she wanted to make my dad's family happy. It wasn't.
But do you think in the after, like, because, you know, obviously your parents were probably young and love, and she was like, I'm willing to do anything for you. But then once you have a life and you have kids, you're like, did I make a mistake, you know?
Right. And I guess to kind of back end follow up that, did you grow up with any sort of Christian beliefs? Like, did you do Christmas?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes. Oh, we definitely celebrated Christmas. And every time we go up to see my mom's side of the family, we go to church. And every now and then I'd even go to church in my own town.
Okay.
I was definitely split. As in, I'm accepting. If there's a good value, I'm going to live by it. This is where I could get a whole different conversation, because when I look at religious values and everything like that, I don't look at the name of it. I look at how I want to live my life and what things I'm going to take from it. And so I do take things from both sides or any different part that you believe in. And I just want to live a good life. So I call myself, and I know a lot of people like go back and forth with this, but I call myself spiritual instead of religious because I don't practice religion to this day. However, every night I know what I say thanks for, and I know what I believe in, and I try to live by that every day. Doesn't matter what title I have for a religious background. But I would say, like, because of that, because of those thoughts, like, I don't think my mom regrets it because she knew she wanted the best, like, raising for me and my brother. And she knew that just by converting, it didn't mean it changed the values within her. Because when she was growing up, she went to church all the time. Right. She did those things. And she still practices the same way she would just because she switched over to convert.
That's probably why your dad's family had such a hard time accepting her. Because they knew that she wasn't fully becoming Jewish.
Right.
She was, you know, doing it in name only.
Yeah, I mean,
sense?
She definitely, she learned Hebrew. She went to temple with us
right.
and did all that.
Oh, you
got to
do the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, she took it on full on, but I mean.
That's a lot.
She knows at the end of the day, she just wanted to raise us with the right values, yeah. no matter what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is the way that she was going to be able to marry my dad, then go be it. Again, I don't know exactly, because I wasn't alive then, how that all played out. But now that I'm old enough to have these conversations, like, I think that's kind of how it broke down.
That's so fascinating, like, how you got or how your parents got to where they are. And, like, all those decisions lead up into who you are today at this moment. You
yeah.
know, all those decisions that your mom and the sacrifices that she made. I mean, think about, you know, if you had no desire to learn Hebrew, all of a sudden you meet this Jewish guy and you're like, I have to learn. I have to convert and
oh,
do all
yeah.
this stuff because I love him and
yeah.
I want to have a great life. Like, good for her for doing that sort of
that's
thing.
A big
that's
thing.
Crazy.
Well, that's what I'm thankful for, too, because my dad's not very strict on it. I mean, he was raised in a strict household because my grandma was very much, like, I think back in the day, she was Orthodox, where it was like, that's a whole different thing where you got to, like, put plates in certain things and
yeah.
you practice all the time. However, I think my dad took from that. He's like, that didn't do what I want for my children. So I don't think it was necessarily my dad that, like, he definitely didn't pressure my mom, I don't think. But I do think that they probably had a conversation of, like, we know we have to make this side of the family happy, and you'll never hear the end of it if you don't.
Right.
But it's just funny now because you look back, now I look back, and that whole side of the family that you try to make happy,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know them.
Yeah.
I literally don't know them, and I don't have those conversations. I met with them maybe once or twice in my 22 years of life, but you try to make this whole side happy, and it doesn't do anything that it should have. With making that family closer. So that whole side of the family, I don't know whose fault that is with whatever, but I don't know any of them.
Man, what a good lesson in, I mean, that's really good that, and I think a lot of people do things like that for their significant other or to make so-and-so happy, but at the end of the day, you have to be happy.
Oh, yeah.
Because your kids, they don't care what you did for, like, you know, this person or that person or whatever. It's about you and your life and not living it for someone else.
Oh,
and it sounds like your parents did that.
I mean, definitely back then, my mom was for sure a giver, as in, like, she would make everyone else happy. And this is kind of funny because I was talking with her yesterday about last year, around this time we had a podcast, my mom was sick, and mm-hmm. it was kind of a life-changing moment because she was moments away literally from possibly dying. And so that changed her whole outlook, even being, you know, so long ago and now finally deciding to change that. She's not taking that shit anymore. And going to be the person that she wants to be. Even talking to her yesterday, she's like, I'm going to this class. I'm going to a Bible study class. I'm taking painting. I'm doing the things now and saying whatever the hell I want now because I had that moment. And it took that long to get there, but now she's getting there. I don't think now if she was in this mindset, would she have done that so easily?
Right.
Right.
But there was a place for it back then.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing when you can really, like, take those moments in life and really truly put it on you and let it sit in your mind that you only have one life.
Yes.
That, like, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, this is all you got.
What am I doing serving others to make sure that I don't step on toes?
Right.
Or to make sure that everybody else is okay with my presence. No.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, I think almost in all cases, it takes some kind of situation like that. Like either a near-death experience or some kind of trauma or like something that shakes you a little bit and makes you go, wait a minute. Wait,
right.
What am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing with my life? I gotta live it for me.
What was that moment for you, Holly? Or have you had it?
I think I've had a few. I think that you don't always need just one. I think I've had a few over the years. I think, let's see. I think when I first realized that I had to break out of my first job and move, and then I got the job in Florida, and moving to Florida was so huge, and I just did it, and I think that was one of them, because it was traumatic,
mm-hmm.
picking your life up and moving, and then becoming sort of not a new person, but changing yourself to a new surrounding, adapting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big life-changing thing for me. I think having a baby and getting divorced and some of the stuff that's also going on in my life right now,
right.
A big one. Because a lot of times I think that this goes for all of us, we always look and say to ourselves, like, well, I mean, how am I going to look to other people? Especially us on the radio. I mean, it's our job to make you like us.
Right.
And I mean, at first, in the first year or two, like that was our job. We were very two-dimensional characters so that you're not being pushed away.
Because, right.
I mean, we got to have a job.
We need you to
listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to like the people that you listen to. But the further we get into it, I mean, it's always lingered in the back of my head that I just want people to like me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's a lot of us, honestly. There's a lot of people that say, like, I don't care what anybody thinks. But I mean, you do.
Yeah.
Obviously, you do, because you want, as humans, we're pack creatures. Like, mm-hmm. you want to be liked. And so there's a current situation now that's going on in my life, and it's tough because it's like I'm facing a situation where people eventually may not like me.
Mm.
And it's like a life-changing thing where you're like, well, why do I care?
Right.
And it is, it's tough, and I have to weigh it out, and I'm not ready to talk about it, obviously, but it's like you do have to weigh it out. Yes, I do need people to like me still,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, I can't control that.
Right.
And I've never been able to control that.
Mm-hmm.
And so keeping going, like walking through that discovery of like, okay, I want to control what people think, mm-hmm. my image, you know, thoughts of others. That's one thing that is completely outside of my control.
Right.
And so the only things that I can control are my actions, you know, what I put out into the universe. That's what I can control.
Mm-hmm.
And so adjusting and being a little bit more open and open-minded and learning and educating myself, that has been, I'm going through it right now, like the metamorphosis almost, mm-hmm. of trying to live my best life, trying to live for me, also making sure my daughter's good. You know, as a parent, that's also your responsibility to provide for your kid,
mm-hmm.
but also to try to live my best life, not in accordance with how I think it should look to others.
Right.
And it started a little bit when I went through the divorce, because we have that life coach. I think we've talked about her before,
mm-hmm.
where one of my biggest fears back then was, I told her, Angela, I've done everything the right way. I mean, I went to college, I graduated, I got a job, and then I moved to a bigger job, and now I'm making it on my own in my new city. And then I dated someone for a respectable amount of time, and then we got married, and then we waited a few years, and then we had a baby, and now I'm tearing that image down. I was like, I have it all together. And now people are going to think I don't. And she was like, well, why do you think that people are expecting any of this from you?
Mm.
Why is that expected? Like, mm-hmm. why is that the, you know, the cutout? Why does that have to be the cookie cutter for what your life looks like?
Mm-hmm.
Your life can look however you want it to look. You are the one putting those limitations on yourself. Even if other people are doing it too, you don't have to pay attention to them.
Right.
And so that was like my first peek into, okay, my life doesn't have to look perfect. And it's great, because as soon as you allow that to be your sort of mantra, people adjust.
Right.
People bend and flow. And they're like, and when I announced I was getting divorced, everyone's like, oh, me too. Or like, oh, here's what I did. You're going to be fine. And it was suddenly like this flood of people that were like, you're fine. And I had been worried so much about what people would think about me not having this perfect package together anymore.
Right.
But, and now secondarily, I'm going through it even on a bigger scale, I feel like. And so it's going to take some time to sort of readjust, but I'm learning more about myself.
Yeah.
And it's scary, and mm-hmm. it's really hard, especially when there's so much out of your control.
Right.
But you got to hang on to what you can control. And then it's just the hardest thing is not caring or trying not to care what other people think or will think or worry yourself with that.
Right. No, it's true.
I feel like I'm speaking in a lot of generalities, so I apologize for that. And we'll definitely talk about it more, you know, as the months go by.
Right.
And I'm getting some people, like, in my DMs are like, girl, what's going on? Is something going on? Yes, there's something going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I just am not able to talk about it fully, especially in public right now.
Right.
And you got to give me that. I mean.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and that's another thing. Like, I don't owe anybody an explanation.
Exactly.
Right, right.
So, but I do feel a certain responsibility because of what we do and what my life has been for the past 10 years, which is an open book.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't let it be that just yet. So eventually, I'm sure before the end of the year, so it's about July right now, before the year is over, there will be this big, you know, I don't know if I would say reveal, mm-hmm. but there'll be like a big...
Here's what's been going on.
Conversation. So you're not going to be in the dark. And there's nothing worse I hate than that. When like
right.
somebody that maybe like if I listen to a radio person or a TV person, you're like, well, what's going on? Maybe it's this, maybe it's this, maybe it's
mm-hmm.
this. Don't worry. You're going to know what it
right.
is. There's going to be no question in your mind, but it's going to take a little bit to get there.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, that totally
so
makes sense.
So I apologize for the generalities and the broad sweeping statements. I just cannot get into it right now. But don't worry. I will. So you're not going to be in the dark forever.
Well, that's good. Well, we're looking forward to finding out and hearing and discovering and working through exactly like what it is that you have been going through.
Right. It's a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's part of life, though.
It is.
And didn't mean for the podcast to
be
this. No. I mean, it all started with like your family and talking about history, and it just turned into that. That's just what happens. That's why
we have a crazy podcast.
Exactly. But that's why I love it. And I think you make valid points on everything. And I think that's something that I've been sort of wrapping my brain around is figuring out, like, what does my future look like? Because when you have a goal for so long, like I've been very lucky in that in most of my life, I've always known what I wanted to do. I always wanted to do radio. And now that I've gotten here and people, surprisingly, as soon as we got this job, they were like, all right, so what do you want to do next after this? And I'm like, whoa, I always said I wanted to work in a top 20 radio market. Like, let me just live it and figure it out and try to be successful in it before we figure out what's next. And now that we've been here for 4 years and there are some things changing at the radio station, like not with us.
Well, right.
Actually, we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, some
we
things,
don't know.
Things are going on.
Exactly. They basically, they sold our, someone bought our radio company.
Yes.
And so, you know, by the end of the year, we should sort of know how it all sort of plays out. But we don't know what that looks like.
We don't. And there's not even any way to speculate because right. it could be anything.
And also, too, when we're under contract, you know, our contract runs every 3 years or, you know, however long we signed for. And that's always makes you, you know, pause for a second and reflect on life and figure out, like, what do you want to do? Like, do you want to keep doing this? Is there something else you want to do? And so for me, security was always, it was always like, I have two sides of me. I have like the very safe side mm-hmm. that like I like things to be safe. I like a schedule. I like to know what's going on. But then there's like this radio side of me. And also I feel like just from living with my mom who sort of, you know, lives on the wild side. She always has. And I've always been more responsible than her. But there's always this side of me that like kind of loves chaos at the same time. And like
I was raised with that.
Yeah, I was raised in chaos all the time. And so I kind of enjoy it and sort of being like, all right, how can we figure out how to get out of this damn situation?
You're like, you know what? Things are a little too calm lately. Let's fuck shit up.
It's true. That's literally how my mind is sometimes. And so that's why I'm kind of like, I don't know what things are going to be right now or like how it's going to play out. But I know that like it's been a little bit too calm and like something crazy is about to happen or needs to happen. And so I don't know what that looks like. But what I do know is that I've finally gotten to the place in my life where I'm not going to just take the safe option of like when you finally start to believe in yourself and in your talent and the people around you. And I really think with my relationship with Mr. Silver Fox has really taught me that, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have to feel like if I lose this job, I'm going to be on the street tomorrow.
Right.
And that's how I've lived most of my life is that if I don't get that paycheck mm-hmm. next Friday, well, I'm going to be on the street.
Yeah. And you're not.
Right. I mean, I could be.
You could.
But you know what? I'll work and I'll make it happen just like I always have.
Exactly.
And so when you get to that place where you finally are free from that fear and making decisions in fear, it literally opens up the universe.
Absolutely.
And you're like, all right, I'm Scott's age again. What do I want to do?
Yeah.
What's next?
What would you do if you weren't afraid?
Boom.
That is one of my favorite quotes from that book. The book is Who Moved My Cheese? Listen, though, it is a for real good-ass book. If you are faced with, like, a life situation, like, maybe for you it's too calm, like Miguel said.
Right.
And, which, by the way, that is super Leo of you. And the Capricorn in me is like, what the fuck are you doing?
Anyway, not me. I'm like, let's box it up.
I know. Yes. But there's this book, and it encourages proactive change because the only constant in life is change.
Right.
And so a lot of people are scared of it because you don't know what it looks like. And mm-hmm. that's what's scary. We're always scared of the unknown, mm-hmm. right? That's what is the basis of most of our fears, the unknown. So if you don't understand what's coming, the people that have so much fear that they can't overcome it just stay until their lives get like just worn down and down and down. And you're like a shell of yourself
yeah.
because you were too scared to do whatever the next step is. And the point of that book is, what would you do if you weren't afraid? Mm. If you think to yourself, if I could like let go of my fear for a second, put it aside with like the what if bubble, what would I do? If it's like move to the other side of the country and start a flower shop, but you're like, but that is ridiculous.
Who would do that?
No, you would do that
mm-hmm.
if you weren't afraid. So, yeah.
Scott, what would you do if you weren't afraid, real quick?
What would I do? I mean, I would probably move to another country and just try to live on a complete different platform of what I'm used to.
Right now, you would do that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do that, but my dream is to just, I want to go as far as the sky will let me. And I battle with that every day of like feeling like if I'm doing the right things to get there, and knowing that my grind and my work is paying off if I'm doing enough. So I think if I was to just drop everything right now and like chase something, it would be either moving to LA or New York and like just doing what I've always read and heard and just trying to get into an industry. And
do it, what industry? Porn?
Definitely what? Not porn. It would either be in TV or radio and networking with the right people, because the dream beyond the dream is to kind of do like a late night show, talk show, is to be on TV, is to be an entertainer, because I love talking and expressing myself, but I think what I bring also is I'm expressive in my actions and my movements, and yeah. I want to be able to entertain people that way. And I think that's the way things are moving now. You can't just be, obviously, you can't just be in radio. You have to have the podcast. You have to be on social media. You have to be doing all these things. And now just my mind is constantly thinking, like, what's that next thing that's going to be where the media is going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Because even TV is changing, so you can't even say you want to go into basic TV, because you have to look at platforms that are just being shut down from cable networks and things like that.
Oh.
You got an email.
Sorry, exactly. I got an email. Let's see what's going on. Holly, what would you do if you weren't afraid?
Oh, man. I think I would take some time to figure out what truly lights up my soul in this moment, because I'm not sure. And so I don't have an answer for that right now. But the not afraid part would be to take time and actually do it.
Yes.
Like yeah. whether it is, because I'm doing this new yoga program thing that's going to start in July, which, by the way, so my mom was just really concerned when I told her I was doing this, because she's like, well, now that's not going to be like worshiping the devil.
You're like,
here's what I'm dealing with.
You're like, yes, mom. I'm going to go and get a pentagram, and we're going to worship, and we're going to pray to Payman.
I don't know.
Downward dog with the devil.
Yep.
Come on, Payman.
I don't know.
If you watch the movie Hereditary, you know what
I
that
don't
is.
Know what that is. Really nor scary. Do I want to. Payman! Why are you shouting out a demon name? What are you doing?
Don't do that. The lights are going to turn off.
Right? Shoot. I don't know. I feel like I miss out on something that is singularly me, that is creative, expressive. I don't know. Like, I really enjoyed dance because I could put on a performance.
Yes.
Like, I loved being in musicals in high school. I would like to just find something that lights me up, maybe in that creative space, because radio doesn't give me that. Radio is a different type of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just miss that type of thing. But again, it's been so long. And it's hard when you're the parent of a small child because that takes up so much of your time.
Mm.
And it's hard to, you know, even this yoga thing that I'm doing is like, I think it's for like a 6-month thing. And about every 3 weeks, there are courses on Saturdays and Sundays from 1 to 5 p.m. Oh. Even that time commitment, I'm starting to stress out about because
I'm like,
how am I going to make this happen? On the weekends, I have Maya. That is 4 hours out of every afternoon. What do I do with her? So it's hard sometimes when you have young kids to do that. But I want to find out what my next great love is. I don't know it yet. Does that make sense?
It does. Miguel, what would you do if you weren't afraid? I think that at some point I want to do more content creation at a higher level with more pressure.
Mm. You do thrive under pressure.
I love it. I love the thought. When things feel like they're not easy, but when it feels like when I feel like I can't punch through and like work through a problem, then I just get lazy. Like I feel like I need to battle something. Like there needs to be like an obstacle. There needs to be an objective. And if I feel like it's not palpable and like I don't know what it is or that it's not there, then I'm like, I need a bigger challenge,
yeah.
A bigger stage or something like that.
That makes total sense.
That's what I would do if I weren't afraid. What would you do if you weren't afraid? Let us know.
Yeah.
Email me, Miguel at hot1015tampabay.com. We will do another podcast next week, the July 4th week, because then after that, then we have one more week.
One more week.
Damn. Wait, what?
Sorry.
We have one more week.
Yeah, we do. Oh, I was like,
we got two more weeks till I'm on my vacation.
Yeah.
I'm excited for my cruise. So I'm just like, damn it, I got it. Hot Dish has been uploaded by Evander, y'all.
Well, good.
All right, Holly, what's all your social media?
On Instagram, it's Radio Holly. I don't get on Snapchat as often, but it's Radio Holly on Snapchat too and Twitter. And on Facebook, it's Holly on Hot 101.5.
Scott.
Mine's at Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin.
Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. You can find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.com/Radio Miguel. You can listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot1015TampaBay.com. Click on the Miguel and Holly page or on your smartphone. Just download or just type in under podcast Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Bye.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot 101.5 TampaBay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.